Throughout lockdown, we have looked at our physical health and our mental health, but what about the effects on our canine friends, our four-legged companions, and assistance dogs as well? Well, today I'm joined by vet Emma Milne to talk a little bit about how we could possibly improve that situation. Emma, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So tell me, first of all, lockdown, how has that affected our dogs?
Well, it's a fairly unprecedented period that we've all been through. And as you say, human mental health has taken a battering for some people as well. But I think all pets will have noticed, obviously, that people are at home, but dogs are such a part of the family and they're such social animals. Also, in the UK, sadly, there are so many dogs that normally are left at home for way too long on their own. And suddenly that's changed. And when that goes back to when hopefully life returns to normal, that separation could be quite a big shock for them after months of being surrounded and being lavished with attention.
I mean, I'm a guide dog owner, and for my dog, I think that social part, the interaction being taken away, because he goes to work with me, he goes everywhere, he's a sociable dog, you know, he gets to meet people, he loves interacting. That's kind of been cut for him. So not only is he not working at the moment, but he's he's been stuck with the two of us in the house most of the time anyway. And I think he gives me these looks, I think, when we stop him going over to talk to people. So, I mean, it kind of hit home to me, first of all, but I suppose many people might not think about that.
No, you're absolutely right. I hadn't even considered things like the working dogs that are going to go from having a really socially rich life. It's still social deprivation, but they're having it now rather than the other way around when the others go back. But I think that's the thing. Dogs cope very well in non-ideal situations. They're so closely connected with our sort of psychology and they're so good at reading our emotions. But I think there'll be, you know, a multitude of owners who are so happy to be at home now and they can give the dog extra walks and they can give the dog all this extra attention. And actually, it's probably a bit of overload, and that will then suddenly disappear. And that's the big crux of all this, is that people need to start now and not leave it till they're suddenly back at work. There's lots of things they can start doing in the meantime.
What can we do? How do we ease them back into that again?
Well, things that came up in the survey that Frontline did was that there's lots of people have said that they've noticed the dog following them around more in the house. And they've often seen that as quite a positive thing, but actually it could cause problems later down the line. So right now, people can start doing things like, well, we'd say, wouldn't we, cutting the apron strings a bit. Don't let your dog follow you everywhere. You know, some of them are even going to the loo with people. So things like baby gates can really help. So just for short periods, you know, just start to have a baby gate. The dog can still see you, still hear you. Obviously, guide dogs are a different situation. This is more pet dogs, you know, that aren't used to being with people all the time. So just start to, particularly people who are usually leaving their dogs for long periods, if there's anything you can do about that, you know, like a daycare and things do. But if not, you really need to start over the next few weeks trying to get back to their normal level of interaction. And then the other thing is to try and make changes in the house that can help them when you're gone. And that's one of the things that this playlist, the idea behind that, but things like a nice comfortable bed where they can escape from you if they want to, start using music now, start perhaps giving them things to do while you're not at home, but while you're still there for now, if that makes sense. So things like the toys that you can put spreads and things on, the puzzle feeders. Think about the things that your dog might be happy to do, but do them now while the dog's comfortable and relaxed and you're there. And then particularly, we'll talk about the music in a second, but all those things then become associated with feeling calm and happy and not just, oh, she's leaving, therefore she's put this music on and given me this toy. If you don't do it now, you might end up just triggering anxiety later on.
Yeah, that whole sort of separation anxiety, I suppose, is just going to be what really unconsciously, I suppose, comes out of this. So absolutely get to work on that right now. I want to go back to the music part, because there is this playlist for pups that's been created. Do they really react well to music?
Well, music can really help dogs, particularly if they've got external noise phobias. You know, if you live near a busy road and each time a lorry goes past, it upsets the dog, or, you know, anything like that, music can be good because it masks those things. I think also music's so important to us, and lots of people have an atmosphere of music in the house. We've always got music on in our house. I play in a band as well. You know, the benefits of music really touch people. And I think because dogs are so hooked up to our emotions and our happiness, if we've got music on and we're happy and relaxed, the whole ambience, the whole sort of atmosphere in the house is better. So I think it's a couple of things, you know, it works in a couple of ways.
I was looking at some of the tracks on the playlist, you know, Elvis Presley, Hound Dog, even some reggae in there, Pink Floyd. And I never thought my dog might be a prog rock fan, but...
Everyone is Pink Floyd, don't they?
Wish you were here.
Yes, they, well, there are a few little puns and gags in there, but basically what they've done, we listened to the playlist yesterday while we were having dinner, and there's some really good stuff on there. I mean, I grew up with Pink Floyd and Bowie and those kind of things. My husband's got quite a different taste. Some of the guys that I play in the band with love reggae. So it's 5 hours long and there's lots of different things. But importantly, it's not like thrash metal that's going to upset anyone. It's gentle, calming, you know, music. And there's a little bit of talking in between. But they've also, what's nice as well, done a podcast of just voices. So an ideal situation would be perhaps have music on in one room, podcast in another, and a quiet place. And then the dog's got freedom of choice, which is really good for mental well-being.
Yeah, the little sort of voice as well, you know, sort of good dog and that kind of thing mixed in with the music. It sounds fantastic. How can people listen to this or access it for their dogs?
Yeah, so they can download the Spotify app or go to the website and either search Frontline Playlist or it's the perfect playlist for dogs and they'll find it really easily. And on the Frontline social media and website, there's lots of useful information and pointers.
Great stuff. And lots of places out there where people can get more info and easing the anxiety after lockdown for their canines or dogs.
If people have got dogs that have got really serious separation problems or they think that's likely, talk to a behavioural expert and get help sooner rather than later. Prevention is always better than cure. And look for accreditations like the ABPC or so on, because those kind of interventions, the sooner they happen, the more likely you are to have success.
Well, I think I'll head off now and I'll try and search out some music for my dog, see if he prefers reggae or prog rock. But Emma, thanks very much for joining us on R&IB Connect Radio.
Thanks for having me.